All right. Ephesians chapter 4, you're going to get tired of hearing me talk about this scripture, but it's my launching pad for where we're going. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, we've been talking about this, right? We've been talking about the fact that every one of us has been given a grace potential. Every one of us has been given a more, the more. We've been talking about that since the beginning of January, that God has a more for our lives. There is a purpose, there is a plan. And for many, we talk about it in terms of being potential, right? And so for this illustration, we've been talking about a 20 by 20, and we've been living a 5 by 5, right? We have the potential to reach 20 by 20. We have the potential to become all that He's created us to become. But for most of us, we live in a confined world. We have the potential to be debt free, but we keep charging. Was that too close to home? Was it? Right. We have the potential to walk in health and healing, but we just love Burger King. Amen. Too close to home? Okay. right? And so we have this potential. And I can always tell when people are not reaching their potential, because when you're living the 5 by 5, the key word that I keep hearing is potential. Man, I have so much potential. Man, we're just trying to reach our potential. And I can always tell because people who have actually reached their potential are no longer talking about potential. Those people are talking about purpose. Right? Are y'all with me? Amen. All right. So here we are. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Is most of us are living 5 by 5, and God is trying to take us to the place of our potential so that we can walk out our purpose. Now, I want you to go with me to another scripture. I want you to go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 24 says this. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is saying this, unless a grain of wheat, or one translation says a seed, falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. That the translation that says seed says produces much fruit. I kind of go in between the two of them. I like both translations, right? So let's look at it in this perspective, right? So the 20 by 20 that God is calling us to be and to reach, to live, is much grain, much fruit, right? Remember a few weeks ago I talked about John chapter 15, I think it was, and he talked about the fact that the Father is glorified when you bear much fruit, okay? But the problem is that you don't get much grain without first having a seed. Jesus, in this scripture, he's talking about, he's actually referencing his death. And he's saying that he, now get this, because this blows my mind. He says, unless a grain of wheat or unless a seed falls to the ground and dies. Y'all realize he's talking about himself. So Jesus is saying, while here on earth, I was nothing but a seed. Jesus was a seed. Everything he did on earth, he did in seed form. Are you with me? Okay. I'm listening for you, Lou. I'm listening for you, all right? He says, I'm a seed, and the only way for me to reach my potential See, we don't think about Jesus and potential, right? Because Jesus was God. Right? But Jesus said, when I left heaven and I came to earth as a seed. And the only way for me as a seed to reach my potential is I must go to the ground and die. Let's talk about a seed for just a moment. Because see, the funny thing about a seed is everything that the seed could ever be is wrapped up in the seed. But you don't see it because it's wrapped in a shell. And the reason that you have to put a seed into the ground is because once you bury the seed into the ground, all of a sudden the pressure from the soil cracks the outer shell of the seed so that the life that's on the inside or the potential that's on the inside of the seed can burst forth. The issue is to the seed being planted and being buried looks the same. The death process is not easy. And some of us walk through some dark places and we're walking around going, I'm just dying. I don't know what in the world's going on. Apparently, I feel like I'm just dead inside. And God's trying to get you to look at it from a different perspective. And he's going, it's not dark because you're dying. It's dark because you're planted. And I'm trying to break the outer shell of your pride. Trying to break the outer shell of your stubbornness. I'm trying to break the outer shell of your traditions. See, we shouted then. We shouted on trials. Shouted on all the. But we get the traditions. I like my traditions. Well, the Bible says that the only thing that can nullify the Word of God is the traditions of men. Right? And sometimes God tries to get in and he tries to break our traditions because our traditions are keeping us held bound in a 5x5 life. It's keeping us wrapped up so that we can't reach our potential. And he's saying, I need to break the outer shell. I don't know what your outer shell is. I can't tell you what your outer shell is, only you know. But what I do know is that every one of us have an outer shell. We have something that keeps us safe inside. We like our outer shell. It's comfortable inside the shell. We like it. Amen? And God's trying to break the shell. Because your potential is wrapped up in it. If he can break the shell, he can get you to the place of your purpose. Do you realize inside every acorn, there is a giant oak tree? But unless that acorn goes into the ground and it breaks it, that oak tree, I can lay that seed, I can lay that acorn right here on this stage and I can leave it from now until Jesus comes and it won't do a thing but sit there. But if I'll find some rich, dark soil and I'll plant that thing in it, it'll break the soil, the pressure from the soil. Can I just say this? Not everything that you go through that produces pressure in your life is bad. Not every adversity that you're facing is from the devil. Sometimes God sends you into some adversity so that he can break the shell and let the life on the inside of you out. Because he's trying to get you to a place of much fruit or much grain. Go with me to another scripture. Y'all with me? My wife said, you gonna preach a sermonette today? I said, nope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, for a great and effective door has opened to me. Now, I've heard this scripture preached a lot. Because we like to hear about open doors, right? We're looking for a job, and all of a sudden somebody prophesies, the Apostle Paul said, a great and effective door is open to you. Oh, hallelujah. Right? You're pursuing your purpose, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and they just say, I just feel I'm supposed to pray the scripture that says a great and effective door has been opened to you. Oh, hallelujah. A great and effective door is open to me. And there are many adversaries. He said, between you and your next season, there's going to be some fight. Let me put it like this. John 12. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces. Let me put that another way. Can I be real mean for just a second? Some of us think that on the way to the promise of God for our lives, that the way we're going to get there, God gave me a word, so I'm just going to sit back and let Him perform it. God gave me a word, I'm just going to sit back and watch it come to pass. God gave me a word. No. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces. It works. The only way you're going to reach your purpose, the only way you're going to move from potential to purpose is you're going to have to work it. Look at your neighbor and say, work it. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, work it. Right? Well, Pastor, you know, the Bible says that you know, we've been saved from works. Listen, I understand that. God is not opposed to work. God is opposed to earning salvation. You can't do it. Okay? But we've taken that to the extreme to where, well, if God said it, then I'm just going to stand back and let it come to pass. No, sometimes God gives you a promise and He steps back and He waits to see what you're going to do. Y'all know what supernatural means? Super. Natural. You know your body was created to heal itself? If you sit around long enough and you're doing what you're supposed to do, naturally your body will heal itself. Supernatural is when God takes His super, puts it on top of your natural, and collapses time. Right? What should have taken months to heal, God collapsed time. Can I give you an example? So, Micah, when we first when we were in Durant a couple years year how long ago, Micah? Year and a half ago? How long ago was it you broke your arm? Year and a half ago, something like that, right? So, Micah, we're playing. Well, we'd had a busy week, and so at the end of the week, we decided we're going to take my kids out, and we were going to go and we're going to play laser tag, right? Bad idea. Laser tags from the devil, I have now decided, right? So we get into we all get suited up, and we literally are in the room for less than 30 seconds. They take off this way, I take off this way, I go up the ramp, I'm hiding. Now you have to know my family, right? All of a sudden I hear my family start yelling for me. I'm like, y'all, I ain't crazy. Like y'all trying to get me to come out, y'all just going to shoot me and win the game. Right now, I'm not doing it. So I'm hiding. I'm ducking down. This little girl runs out. I shoot her. Pow, 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 right? The only little girl outside of my family that was in the game. Right? She was only about 8. Ain't no shame in my game. You got to learn at some point. Right? 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 Not a part of the generation that gave trophies to everybody. You had to earn it. Right? And so I shot her. She went down. I took off running. She gets up. She tries to sneak up behind me. Pow, I shoot her. You're down again, girl. Right? I go to run. They're still calling me. I'm like, y'all ain't fooling me. Then my nephew, and he's my adult nephew, he was staying with us for a short period of time at that point, at that time. He comes running, he goes, "Uncle Chuck!" I could tell by the sound of his voice, this wasn't him trying to get me. So I stuck my head over the railing. My chest was still covered. He couldn't get me if he shot, right? I'm not dumb, right? I go, "What?" He goes, "Micah broke his arm." They thought Micah broke his arm, right? So I take off. I run down the ramp. I walk outside. I'm like, "They think Micah broke his arm." I walk out. She's got Micah's arm like this. They've got it covered. I walk over and I uncover it. "Let's go to the car. Micah broke his arm," right? They call it second elbow, right? It was pointed in an opposite direction, right? Cool story. Welcome to Sunday morning church, right? So we go, right, and we start the process of, you know, him going through, and they're having to set it. They're doing all the stuff. By the way, they gave him some kind of horse tranquilizer so that they could set it. That stuff was awesome. It was so good. Like, I sat there, I was like, I was sitting in the seat, and the doctor gave it to him, and finally he stopped responding, right? He's just standing there staring. And the doctor goes, "Micah." And the doctor grabs his arm, snatches... My wife's not in here, is she, right? She doesn't want to hear this story ever, right? She snatches the arm up, and they start just bending it. And I jumped up, because he's just sitting there staring. I jumped up. I was like, "That stuff is awesome!" Doctor started laughing. He was like, "Yeah, it is pretty cool." So anyway, we started the process of healing, right? We got him... Well, I finally got him into the place where he got his cast, and we started healing. And they started telling us all this time frame, and it was going to be months out. And it was, you know, we're talking 4 or 6 months, 4 months in a long cast or something like that. It was a long time, right? And we just knew this was going to be a great teaching lesson for Micah, right? No, seriously, this is going to, right? So we started going, "Micah, we're going to pray." We said, "Do you know God loves you?" "Yeah." "You know you walk in God's favor?" "Yeah." "You know God heals?" "Yeah." "We're just going to believe it ain't going to take all that," right? So all of a sudden, what should have taken months and months and months, going from a long cast to a short cast, and then to a sling, and then, you know, he went from a long cast to a sling in weeks. Super on top of natural. We got back, literally, I think it was the second visit to the doctor. I think so. Stephanie knows the details much better than I do. I should have let her preach this part of the message, right? And so, it would have been much shorter. Don't laugh at that. That wasn't funny. We got back for like the second visit, and all of a sudden, doctor was like, "Man, that's cool." We're like, "What?" He was like, "There's already bone growing." He was like, "We generally don't see that until so many weeks out." We were like, "Really?" He was like, "Yeah." We got in the car. We were like, "You see that, Micah? See what God's done for you already?" We got back for the next one. It was, man, and it was like God took and collapsed time. He took what should have taken a long time, and he collapsed time. He put his super on top of the natural, right? So we have gotten to this place where we think everything God's going to do is going to be super on top of our natural. But we equate that to no work. No, they're still natural. He says the only way you're going from seed to purpose is by working it. Right? Let me give you another illustration. Right? So you're in here and you're single. I don't know how many single people we got. Don't raise your hand. I'm not setting you up today. Listen. That's another service, right? Right. Right. So we got single folks and they be praying. Men who are single, right? We start praying, "Lord, send me a why. Send me a why. Send me a why. Lord, send me a why. Jesus, I've been waiting. Send me a why." Really would be nice to have a wife, Lord. And the Lord's like, you ain't left your house. I ain't sending her there. Right? Because the Bible says, who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? So if you ain't searching, you ain't finding. That's a word. Right? But we go, but God promised. Sure he did. But sometimes you just got to work it. My pastor used to say like this. He said, work it till it works. Right? Work it till it works. Sometimes you just got to get after it. Right? There's a great and effective door that's open to me, but there are many adversaries. God wants to take you through a door that will be great and effective, but you got to understand that the fight doesn't end because you're entering your new season. Just ask Israel. They left Egypt. They went into the wilderness. God, there's so much there. We sit around, God, I want to be in my promise, because when I get in my promise, when I step into the promise of God for my life, it's just going to be easy. It's going to be easy. If I could just skip the wilderness part and get into Canaan. Y'all realize, I'm just going to say this, you can study it on your own. In the wilderness, God provided for them daily. In the wilderness, he fed them daily. In the wilderness, their shoes didn't wear out and their bodies didn't get sick. In the wilderness. Once they got to Canaan, the miracles dried up. Well, wait a minute. That was a land flowing with milk and honey. Where do you think they got the milk from? It wasn't just a river of milk flowing through Canaan. It was a bunch of cows. How you get the milk? You got to work it. Where you get honey from? They just didn't walk in and there were jars of honey just sitting everywhere. No. There were bees. How you get the honey? You got to work it. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, work it. God isn't opposed to effort. He's opposed to you trying to earn your salvation. Listen, the Bible is over and over. It rewards hard work. And laziness gets overlooked. But we have created a culture in church where we go, I just want to sit here and pray to be here. But if God just jumped you through this process and you got here, you wouldn't know how to handle your purpose. Because now you stepped into Canaan and you got to find the honey and you got to get the honey without getting stung. You got to get the milk without getting kicked. Right? And watch this. I'm wrapping up. Watch this. Go with me to Numbers. Man, I'm going to tell you, this scripture right here wrecked me. Numbers, chapter 33, verse 50. The Bible says it's 50, and I'll just keep reading. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan was the promise for the people of Israel. Then, everybody say then. When? Then. When you get into Canaan, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images. And demolish all their high places. Verse 53. You shall dispossess. Everybody say dispossess. That word just struck me. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Now, I start thinking about God's given me a promise. I like to think of it like I'm sitting here and God just gives me the promise, sits into my lap, and I'm like, praise the Lord. I get to cuddle the promise. I get to lay down at night and spoon with the promise. Right? I just get to hang out with the promise all day long. I'm just going to sit around and pray because the promise is so good and everything is so wonderful. But he says, hey, I've given you a land, but when you get there, there's some folks already there, by the way. And you're going to have to go in and dispossess. The word dispossess literally means to occupy by driving out previous tenants and possessing in their place. So you mean to tell me that the land flowing with milk and honey, the land with grape clusters so large that you got to carry them on a pole in between two guys, that I can't just go and set up shop? And by the way, you get no more manna. And by the way, you're going to have to deal with your own shoes now. Well, Pastor, what? Why are you telling us this? Because the fact of the matter is whether you realize it or not, and I don't know what your personal promise is. I don't know what God's spoken to you and promised you. But I can tell you this about harvest, is the Tulsa metro area is our promise. It's quiet because some of y'all just wanted me to say Sand Springs, but y'all, what God has planned for us is so much bigger than Sand Springs, and I love Sand Springs, and I don't want to leave Sand Springs. And we're trying. Listen, when we look at houses for in the near future, we're looking at houses within the borders of Sand Springs because we love Sand Springs. But I also realize that what God is trying to do in and through Harvest Church is so much bigger than what Sand Springs can contain. I don't believe we're supposed to be a church with two campuses. I believe we're supposed to be a church with many campuses. I don't believe we're supposed to be a church of 300. I believe, now some of y'all are going to wig out about this. I believe we're supposed to be a church of 30,000. Well, Pastor, let's get to 350 first. No. I'm going to have faith because I believe God's got so much bigger for us. I'm going to pray these God-sized dreams. I'm going to believe for God-sized dreams. And I'm going to work for God-sized dreams because God's given us a huge promise. But inside the promise, we've got the enemy that we have to dispossess. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let's just be real with it. The enemy of addiction. I'm tired of seeing folks hang outside of stores trying to conjure up enough change to get their next hit. What about the enemy of poverty? That's not just being poor. Poverty is a mindset. Can I just be real with you? Some of us sitting in this room with enough money in the bank to take care of ourselves live in poverty. Because we don't understand the kingdom mindset. The kingdom mindset is, if I'm going to be generous, if God can get it through me, God will bring it to me. Poverty says, I can't let go of it. I got to hoard all I've got because this is, I don't know. You know, end time, the zombie apocalypse, Pastor. Some of y'all can't, I can't believe he said zombie apocalypse. Listen, y'all know what I meant. That was a joke, right? Some of y'all going, with end times, Pastor. I got to get all my canned goods and I got to get all my, yeah, and I got, we finally got the shelter put in. But you know what? I'm not even worried about a tornado. I'm just talking about the end times. I'm going to lock myself in a thing. I'm going to eat corn until it comes out my ear, right? That's a poverty mentality, right? Because if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. What about the enemy of broken homes? I'm tired of watching the enemy run rampant. Listen, I'm not even talking about outside the church at this point. Let's just talk about inside the church. I'm tired of seeing the enemy run rampant and marriages fall apart. I'm tired of seeing people who aren't willing to fight for the covenant that they made. Because the fact of the matter is it is a covenant. When I said, till death do us part, I meant it. Well, Pastor, what are you saying about people who've been through divorce? I'm saying God is gracious. God is kind. But I'm telling you, I'm going to fight. I'm not accepting divorce as an option for me. Listen, can I tell you this? When Stephanie and I first got together, we made a decision. We realized that divorce was a generational curse. So we decided we weren't going to participate. And so we took the D word off the table. Nothing that can be done that'll bring the D word onto the table. Because it is not even an option. And as long as it's not an option, then my brain is open to all the solutions. I'm tired of seeing families broken apart because people are so fickle these days that they won't fight for the covenant that they made when they stood at an altar and said, I do. What about the enemy of broken dreams? I'm tired of seeing people within the church who in their late teens and 20s and 30s had big dreams and they were believing God for big stuff, but life hit them in the face and they got blindsided by some adversity, and all of a sudden now they don't know what they're going to do and they've just given up on... I'm a firm believer. I don't care how old you are. God ain't done till you stop breathing. And it's our responsibility as the church of Jesus Christ to dispossess the enemy or the enemies, the inhabitants of the land of our promise. So, Pastor, how are we doing this? Are you with me?
Amen.
I'm about to tell you how we're going to do it. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Number one, we're going to pray. Oh, well, here we go. I thought he's got to give us marching orders. He done went religious. I didn't go religious on you. I went straight Bible. Fact of the matter is prayer is our first option. Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah, when he was facing adversity and he knew what his promise was, he began to pray for opportunities and began to pray for favor. When we begin to pray, I want us to pray for opportunities. Pray that doors will open, that God will give us opportunities with those in authority. He'll give us opportunities that, listen, I believe wholeheartedly that big doors swing on small hinges. So I don't take any relationship for granted, because God will take a small relationship and swing a great big door on it. We're going to pray. Listen, can I tell you, God's already given us some opportunities. God's given us opportunities. Listen, through all the disaster and the flooding, God's given us opportunities. Just ask Fort Gibson. They were so grateful when Levi and Joshua and Chris arrived. Man, they were so grateful. Doors open. Levi arrived in Braggs and the mayor met him. God's already given us doors. Pray that He'll give us more. Secondly, we're going to worship. Because I believe worship is a weapon. Psalm 8 and 2 says this. It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Now, if you interpret Scripture with Scripture, you look over and you find that Jesus took that Scripture and He interpreted it this way. He said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. The rest of that Scripture says, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Most of you come into church and you stand up and clap because that's the religious thing to do. And you lift your hands because, you know, that's just what we've been taught to do in church. Or we shout because we're excited or the pastor said so. But the fact of the matter is if you read the Scripture, if you study the Scripture, you'll find out that your worship is more than just excitement on a Sunday morning. Your worship is your warfare. You want to know how to silence the enemy? Let out a praise. He said, you've ordained worship. You've ordained praise. That you may silence the enemy and the avenger. I hear people saying, well, Pastor, the enemy's just whispering in my ear so much. Then open your mouth and begin to praise until he shuts his. Do you realize that the Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph? And we think we're going to shout because we're excited. Do you know what the word shout in the Hebrew means? It means to mar. Do you know what mar means? It means to rip up piece by piece. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Why do we shout? Because when we shout, the enemy is being marred in our situation. Y'all don't know how many times I've stood in my home and I've shouted over my family. I've shouted over my lost loved ones. Not because I was excited about something that was happening, but I just believe by faith as I begin to shout that whatever the enemy is trying to do in their life, he is being ripped up piece by piece, shredded. Worship is our weapon. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. And number three, we're going to do good things. Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Y'all remember last week I talked about the difference between light and darkness? And throughout Scripture, darkness is indicative of ignorance and light is indicative of knowledge. He said, let what you know so shine that people see what you do and glorify God. The world is sick and tired of Christians who say that they're believers but who live in doubt. Come on, somebody needs a shout on that. That's the truth. The world is sick and tired of people who say one thing and live another. Where do you go? I go to that Pentecostal church. Well, I need you to pray for my healing. Well, Lord, if it be thy will, get your hands off me. Pray that mess over me. If you don't know the will, don't be bringing it up into here. Amen. He said, let what you know and what you do line up. And people are going to look at that and go, now they got something. They don't just talk a good talk. They live it out. Listen, that's why stuff like July 13th Serve Day is so important. Because we can come in here and worship all day long. But when we none show up out there, Sand Springs don't care how much we do in here. What makes the difference is what we do out there. When we show up at the park and make a difference. When we show up at the homes and make a difference. When we go, we don't just talk about serving, we actually serve. Let your light so shine before men so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray, we're going to worship, and then we're going to take it to the streets. We're going to live it out in our neighborhoods, in our homes, with our families, on our jobs. We're going to let it shine. Right? Y'all remember the old kid song? Hide it under a bushel. Oh, come on. Y'all have failed children's church. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. So what I'm asking is, I'm asking you to join me in this. I'm asking you to go, Pastor, I'll pray, I'll worship, but then I'm going to go a step further and I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something. I'm going to reach out to my neighbor. I'm going to serve on Serve Day. I'm going to go out and do something. I'm not just going to amass knowledge for myself, but I'm going to let my good work shine so that they may look at me and know that I don't just know Him, I serve Him. So I'm going to ask this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is how I'm going to ask you to respond this morning. On the count of three, if you'll go, Pastor, I'll join you. I'm not just going to join you in words, I'm going to join you. I'm going to start praying for opportunities and favor. I'm going to start worshiping over our city, over the Tulsa metro area. And then I'm going to look for opportunities to let my light shine, to go out and do something so that others may know. I'm going to live my life not for me, but for the glory of God. Pastor, I'm with you. On the count of three, would you stand up? 1, 2, 3. Now let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person that stood in this building. You see the commitment that they're making this morning. And Father, I pray that as we move forward, as we go forward, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would spark a revival in us and through us into this region. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us opportunities, that you would give us favor with the people in our city, with the people in surrounding areas. And Father, I pray that we would be able to let your light so shine before men that they would see what we're doing and they glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.